Now, last week, as we worked our way through Nehemiah, in chapter 2, Nehemiah had arrived in Jerusalem. The city was in ruins. The walls were knocked down. And he surveyed what he could see, and he motivated God's people to work. If your Bible's still open, look at verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2. Then I said to them, this is Nehemiah speaking in the first person, "You see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. This must be considered, chapter 3, one of the least interesting chapters in all of Scriptures. It's just a list of names. A list of names you've never heard of before. Many of them unpronounceable. You did a great job there, Dave. Do you know why other people think it's a lot of interesting? It's all about work. And on a Sunday night before you head back to work tomorrow, that's not the kind of thing you want to think about. Many people, maybe you're sitting here at the moment thinking that is one dull chapter. But it actually includes vital practical lessons. Vital practical lessons that we can apply to us here in Carrick Baptist Church in 2015. I've got a few short lessons that we're going to pull out of this chapter. Here's the first one. They had the right motive. Seems like an ordinary job that Nehemiah called the people to do. The walls were in ruins, lots of stones laying about. They gathered this group of people, 70 names that are listed here in this chapter, and they rebuilt the walls. Manual labor. Just sounds quite bland. But behind all this, this practical job that they did was a spiritual motive. See, Nehemiah was concerned about something. Yeah, he was concerned that the walls were rebuilt so that the enemies couldn't come in and attack the temple. Do you know what he was really concerned about? He was concerned about God's glory. Because this was the holy city. This was God's city where his people lived. And it was ruins. And it was a place of shame. And it was a place of reproach as well. And what Nehemiah really wanted is he wanted God's name to be glorified again in that place. That was his motive. There would be no reproach to God's name. That God's name would be glorified in the city of Jerusalem again. And he had the right motive. It wasn't about him. Look what a great builder you are, Nehemiah. He wanted God's name to be glorified, and he enthused others to come and join him in the task as well. We have lots of opportunities to serve. We have lots of opportunities to minister through the local church, in the circumstances, in the places where God has placed you. It's not always standing at the front. It's not always teaching a lesson to a group of children sitting in a green out in Carrickfergus. Lots of practical jobs. I was really encouraged yesterday. We came to the church for the Thanksgiving service for Liz. As I arrived, I saw somebody, I'm not going to mention their name, but just walking around the car park, picking up litter. Other people directing cars in the place. There were dozens of people just practically serving yesterday here in this place. Lots of ways we can serve. Lots of behind-the-scenes things, but by doing them, we can bring glory to God's name. Serving musically here in the church, leading people in worship and in praise, serving as we minister to our children, to our youth, in our new seniors ministry that we're starting off shortly, in evangelism. No matter what it is, our motive always needs to be right. It always needs to be spiritual. Not that our names would be glorified. Look at Peter Lawler. Look at all the things that he does. Or look at so-and-so. They're always at the front. They're always doing this. It's not about us. Our motive is not that we would be glorified. Our motive needs to be that God would be glorified. That should be the motive, that the focus is on him, that people's lives would be impacted, that people who don't know God would start to worship God and start to glorify his great name. Why get involved in a five-day club? Go out in the rain under a gazebo holding up an umbrella. Why go to Africa to drill a well and put for water? Why go to Bradford and sit in an office in front of a computer? Trust the motives for all those people who've been involved in those different things is because they want God to be glorified in other people's lives. That's the motive. Motive is the most important thing. This is what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works. The things that you're doing, they may see your good works and give glory not to you, but to your Father who is in heaven. That is our motive, that God might be glorified. So that's the first thing, that they had the right motive. The second thing we get from this long list of names is all kinds of people worked. As I've already mentioned, there's 70 different names listed in chapter 3. And they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. The wall of Jerusalem was actually 2.5 miles long. So 70 people working together rebuilt a stretch of wall 2.5 miles long. It makes our church building project seem really, really small. And what you have here is in the chapter 3 is it lists the people and the different places they work. It works in a clockwise direction, describing all the different parts of the wall and the different gates all the way around Jerusalem. There was a task to be done, and lots of people got involved because it was such a big job. I remember going on a course before called Finding Your Place in Ministry. It's all about what are your passions? What are your spiritual gifts? And really the point of the course was saying was, how has God equipped you? What has God prepared you for? And what kind of ministry should you be involved in? Okay, so in other words, what's the best thing for you to be fitting in the life of a church? Or on the other hand, what kind of things should you not be involved in? So if you hate children, don't sign up for CB Kids. That's basically the kind of premise his. But if you have a real passion for youth, then you might be thinking about getting involved in youth ministry. And I think there's a real place for that, okay? If you want to be serving for years in a different type of ministry, you want to be looking for how God has equipped you, how he's prepared you, the passions and desires that he's put upon your heart. And that's what we want to do here in this church. We want to find what your gifts are, your passions are, get you involved in ministry, and get you serving here through the local church as well. But there are times where it requires people just to get stuck in. There's a job to be done. You mightn't be the best gifted person for the job. You mightn't be the most equipped. It mightn't be your burning passion and your burning desire, but there's a job to be done. There's a task there, and it needs people to step up. And we've read through these 70 names here. It tells us lots of different people. Sometimes it tells us what jobs they did. Nowhere in this passage does it list the name of a builder or a joiner or a plumber or electrician or any of those kind of practical jobs. Don't find anybody. This is what they did their normal day, so that was the right person to bring on board in this project. It talks about priests, the spiritual people, people who worked in the temple, who sacrificed the animals, probably never built a wall in their life, and yet there was a great task to be done for God's name to be glorified in that place, and they got involved. Goldsmiths, working with fine metals. Talks about rulers, people like the mayor of the town. Remember, he never rolled up his sleeves and got dirty in his life before, but there was a task to be done, and so he got involved. The one that makes me smile is it talks about the perfume makers. Perfume makers building walls, lifting big stones. You think of a perfume maker, fine, delicate hands, you know, mixing up the different potions to make the beautiful smells. And here's a perfume maker building the walls of Jerusalem because they were motivated and they wanted God's name to be glorified in this place. Sometimes we just need to see that there's a need there and we need to step out of our comfort zone for the glory of God. Here's the third point. They all worked together. They were organized. There's teamwork here. It tells us all the different places they were working. They weren't fighting and squabbling over the same part. That's a nice bit. I'd like to build that bit. And there's 4 or 5 teams trying to do exactly the same ministry in exactly the same place. No, they were organized, not on top of each other. It's all down to good leadership, good spiritual leadership and delegation. No one can do everything. But together, 70 people were able to rebuild a wall. It was 2.5 miles long, and they did it in 52 days, which is an incredible short amount of time. Now, if you looked at each section, each of those people, what they did on its own, probably wouldn't look very impressive. But together, they did something incredible. We have over 200 people here in this church. Over 200 people, particularly on a Sunday morning. One person can only do a little amount. One person cannot do everything. But working together, think what we could do for the glory of God in Carrickfergus. Not all trying to do the same thing. God doesn't want us to do the same, and he hasn't equipped us to do the same thing. He's given us lots of different gifts and abilities as well. But working together, what could we do here? What impact could we have here in Carrickfergus for for the glory of God's name in this place. And not just Carrickfergus. It's great to pray with Tim to Africa. Cherith, going to Bradford, as we send people out. It's one of my big desires. I've shared this with the missionary committee. It's great to have people coming in. We're going to have extra seats as we move across here. But if we're a spiritually healthy church, you know what we want to do? We want to send people out. And we want to send people out to be a blessing in other places. In other places so that God's name might be glorified there as well. Think of our 5 days clubs. We had one in the morning, we had one in the afternoon. As I stood there in Sunnylands Estate last week, standing there with this group of kids in the green area, thinking these kids have come from just these streets around this green area. But there's other green areas in these estates as well. These kids don't even know we're here. We could have been running 4 or 5 different 5 day clubs in Sunnyland State alone, never mind other places. And so what we'd love to do next year is to do more. Let's have not just one team in the morning, one team in the afternoon. Let's have a couple of teams out in the morning. Let's have a number of teams out in the afternoon. And let's reach more people as well. If you work together, do so much more for the glory of God in a place. Here's the fourth point. There are 5. We'll soon get there. We'll soon get through these. Not everyone worked. Look at verse 5 if you've got your passage open in front of you. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. What a sad statement in God's word. There's some people, they could have done something, they should have something, but they would not stoop to serve the Lord. They were nobles. Maybe they thought this was below them. We're not going to get our hands dirty. That's below us. We've been there in the past, but now we're nobles. We're not going to get involved in anything out there. Maybe they were only interested in their own glory, what people thought of them with their positions of responsibility. A comedian called Jerome made a funny statement. He said, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." Some people take that attitude as well. They think maybe work's below them. Some people are plain lazy. You'll find that in churches as well. Some people take the attitude, well, I've done my bit. I've helped out in the past. I've done plenty of things. I did it when I was younger. I can just sit back and be a spectator now. Watch others doing it. Just spectate them. Maybe criticize them. It's not the way we used to do it in our day. You've still got a pulse. Still your day. And that's not the attitude. There's a work to be done for everyone. Do you know what I loved about the Holiday Bible, the 5 day clubs last week? It's great to see our young people involved. And John Brown spoke about this in the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. He said, we have the best bunch of young people in this church. I know you're biased, John, but I want to agree with you as well. It's great to see our young people getting involved over the summer and camps, and mission teams, last week with our 5 day clubs. Got the energy, got the enthusiasm. Do you know what I really liked last week as well? Seeing that mix of youth, but the number of pensioners who were involved last week as well. Now, some of them couldn't sit on the mat with the children. They never would have got up again, and so they brought their own seats to sit on at the side as well. But it's great to see them ministering together with our young people. What an example to set our young people as well. It wasn't below them. We're not going to stoop to serve the Lord in that kind of ministry. It's real, real encouragement to see people getting stuck in as well. Don't be the people in verse 5, just no, not going to get involved. There's a work to be done. There's plenty for everybody. Let's have that right godly attitude because we want God's name to be glorified. And here's the fifth and final point. Some did more than others. Talks about the nobles there in verse 5 who wouldn't get involved. Let me read verse 5 again. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. So this is like a tribe of people. Some of the people repaired, but their nobles didn't want to get involved. But then put your eye down to verse 27. After him, the Tekoites, that's those same people mentioned again, repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. They've done their bit. The work's not finished. Can we go the extra mile? Can we do repair a bit over here as well? And you'll find a number of people here who are listed, who did a bit, and then they did some more as well. You might think, this is a dull chapter. It's just a list of names. Why would you want to read a chapter like this? This is the kind of thing if you come in your daily reading, you skip over it. Why would you make somebody stand up in church and read all these verses out in a public reading of Scripture? Do you know why we do it? Because this is the inspired word of God. We thought about this a number of weeks ago in our Sunday morning series. This is God's word. And God doesn't make mistakes when he inspired his word. God has given this for a reason, because there's a benefit, spiritual benefit, for including this here. And as we read through this, do you know what we see? We see that God knows. God knows who worked. God knows who ministered in practical ways, and he's inspired it so their names are recorded here in Scripture. God also took note of who went the extra mile, who did a bit more, who worked in a diligent way. God also knows who avoided the work and who stayed away from it as well. Let's finish with these words from 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God knows. It's not in vain. God knows. And what is our attitude as we work? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. May that be a challenge to each of our hearts. There's a great work to be done. Small things, big things, things here, things far away. What's our motive? Because we want God's name to be glorified. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this chapter of Scripture. It might seem like a list of names, and yet it's a challenge to our hearts. The people who worked because they wanted your name to be glorified in their place. They stood up. They did a task that needed to be done. They weren't spectators, but they worked as unto the Lord. And we pray that we would have a similar attitude as we think of what you have done in our lives, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. May we realize that we are saved to serve and to make your name known for the fame not of our name, but for the glory of Jesus Christ in this place. Give us a heart to work and to work as unto you. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.